Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the first wide line. We learned in the Mishnah that Avshalom Nizgai Basaroi. Avshalom was boasted about his hair, and says the Gemara. Said the Mishnah Ficha Nislisla Basaroi. He ultimately was hung by his hair. Tanabanan the Gemara explains Avshalom Basaroi Marad. Avshalom rebelled against Hashem, rebelled against his father with his hair, Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, Avshalom, Lohoye Ish Yafa, there was nobody as beautiful as Avshalom. And the pasuk says, Vahoye Regachas Reishai, and when he cut his hair, Vahoye Ketsyom Lashay Galech, after the time that he cut his hair, he covered a love because the hair got heavy, the Gilchoy. And therefore he cut it. V'shokal asar roishoy, and he weighed that hair. Masayim shkolim, the weight was Masayim shkolim bevin hamelach tana evin she'anshi tveri v'anshi tzpura shokum bay. This was a type of weight that was the type that they used in those places. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that why did they have a special weight in those two places? Because those two places were places that were places that were had very abundant and very high quality fruits and vegetables, and therefore they had a special weighing system in these different locations. I also saw that what does it mean that because of his hair he rebelled? So the Sefer Tiferes Yitzchak explains, Shalom said, look how beautiful I am. Look what wonderful hair I have. And therefore he said, it must be that I am the most befitting of all of my father's children to become the king. And if not for that, he would have never have thought that way. Lefikach, says the Gemara, because this is what happened, Nitla Basaroi, he ultimately was hung by his hair. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that there was a battle between the soldiers of David HaMelech and the Avshalom and the people who followed him. And the Pasuk says, V'yikar Avshalom fnei avdei David. And Avshalom found himself in front of the servants of David. V'Avshalom roichav al haperet. And Avshalom was riding on a mule. V'yavar haperet tachas shoivach ha'el g'dayla. The donkey, the mule went under this, the branches of this large tree, v'chazak roisha be'elop, and his head got caught in the tree, v'yitain, and therefore was hanging ben shemayim ben arz, between the heaven and earth, v'aperdash atachtav over, and he was caught up in the tree, and the animal without him rode for further. Shakal safsra, so Shalom took his sword, and Bailamifsky wanted to cut off his hair to detach it from the tree. Tanabei Rav Shmuel, but what happened, says the Gemara, Ba'ois Shah, Nifka Shah Mitachtav. At that moment, Gehenim opened up from below him, and he was concerned that if he's going to cut his hair, he will not fall down on the ground. He's going to fall right down into Gehenim. So the Pasuk says that Yoav, the general of David HaMelech, saw how Avshalom was hanging on the tree. And he, even though David HaMelech had given Yoav a directive not to do anything, not to harm Avshalom, he didn't pay attention to that directive and he killed him. And when David HaMelech became aware of what happened, the Pasuk says, V'yigas HaMelech, the king got upset, V'yal al aliyah shar, and he went to the gate, V'yefch, and he cried, V'kaya amma belechta, and this is what he said, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni Avshalom. Miyitim Musi Ani Tachtecha. I would prefer to die instead of you dying. Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. And the Pasuk continues, V'amelech lot, as part of the king covered his face. V'yizak HaMelech kol gadol, and the king cried out, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. So ask the Gemara, Hani Tamya B'ni. Why did the king call out the word B'ni 8 times? Lama. Shiva, he said it 7 times. The Aske Meshiva Meduri Gehenim, that he was pulling him out of Gehenim, and the Edoch, And the eighth time was Ikedam the Kavresh Lagavagufe. He wanted his head and body, which had become detached, to become reattached. Ikedam, and others say, the Isil Al Madasi, he wanted to bring Avshalom to the Olam Haba. So Taisus asks a question that the Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, teaches us that even though a son has the ability that because of what he does, mitzvahs and Torah, he could help his father, neshama, after the father is no longer in this world, but a father does not have the ability to help a son. So how could David HaMelech been so powerful in helping Avshalom get out of Gehenna? So Tysus answers that since Avshalom was so punished in this world, then that he experienced this in this world, even though normally a father can't help a son, here he did have the ability. Another teretz is a father doesn't have the ability that to help a son when he just because he's a good person. But if the father specifically davens on behalf of the son, then of course the father has an ability as also. Another explanation that the Mashal suggests, that the reason that David HaMelech was punished in having a son like Avshalom is because of his sin with Bathsheba. So since David HaMelech was somewhat responsible for this, that's why he was able to daven for him. Avshalom lokach, the pasuk speaks about after Avshalom was killed, Avshalom lokach v'yetzev lo b'chayev es matzeves. He took and put up a monument, my lokach, amr shlokish, but what he did for himself was shlokach mekach ro la'atzmai. Avshalom, by trying to become king while he was still while his father was still alive, was a very bad move, and it ultimately caused that he should die. Others say not just that he tried to become king was the reason that he was punished. It was also because he rebelled against his father. And since he rebelled against his father, he was deserving of such a terrible punishment. The pasuk says, "V'yatzel b'chayiv es matzeves asher be'emek hamelech." Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, "Beitza muka shamaka sh'olam." David Hakadosh Baruch Hu had made a gzeira on David HaMelech because of the sin that he did with Bathsheba, that he should have to suffer in this world, in order that when he comes to the next world, he should not have to suffer. And this was the result of that gzeira. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, Nosan Hanavi tells David HaMelech, "Hinei mekem alecha rami beisecha," and this was what was the result. Kiyotz b'dava ato oimer, we find a similar situation when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to his brothers. And the pasuk says, "Vishlucheyu me'emek chevron." Amar Chanina bar Papa, "Eitza muka shel Yosef tzadik." Why was Yosef sent there? Why, which ultimately resulted in Yosef being sold to the Mitzrayim and being in Mitzrayim for so many years? Because it was what Avram Avinu had made up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekav Bechemra. The Ksiv, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, Yodei Atei Dekigeh Yeh Zaracha Be'eretz Loi Lahem, that Klal Yisrael would be in a terrible galus. And Yosef was sent there for that purpose. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though at first glance, what happened to Yosef was something very, very terrible. In reality, there was a plan here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that from Yosef ending up in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael would be able to ultimately become Klal Yisrael. Ki Amal Ein Li Ben, the pasuk continues, what's the story of Avshalom? Ki Amal Ein Li Ben, because Avshalom said, I have no son. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That Avshalom had no sons. The pasuk says Avshalom had shalosh banim abas achas, three sons and a daughter. Amar Yitzchak b'Adimi shloi hayol ben hagul malchus. What the Gemara meant to say is that he didn't have any children that could take over the monarchy. Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Chisda says Gemiri, we have a kabbalah. Kol asarv tvasos chaveri, somebody who destroys somebody else's property his punishment is Einam Aniach Ben Liyarshay. That doesn't have a son to be inherit him. And what happened was, Avshalom burnt the property of Yoav. The Ksiv Yoim El Avodav, Ru Chalkus Yoav Al Yadi, V'loy Sham Soirim, L'chu V'tzisu Be'esh, go burn it, V'yatzisu Avdi Shalom as Chalk Be'esh. The story goes that Avshalom was first sent away, and then he came back, but the king was not ready to see him. And Avshalom was demanding that Yoav, who was the general and a great confidant of David HaMelech, should be the one to get David HaMelech to allow Avshalom to come back. He didn't want to do so. Yoav didn't want to do so. So he got upset at him. And because he got upset at him, he burnt his property. And I saw that the Maral explains that what's the midah k'neged midah? Just like he burnt somebody else's property, what belongs to him will be burnt as well. The Ein Yaakov explains that when somebody burns somebody else's property, it means that all the effort that the person put into his field now goes to waste. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is that we put so much effort into our children that all the effort Avshalom put into his children will all go to waste. The pasuk said, we learned in the Mishnah, similarly, v'chein l'inyan hatova, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if somebody does something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back. And what was the example? Miriam. Miriam was the one that as the pasuk says, v'tisasev achoyse merocha gludei mayasoloi, she showed such concern for Moshe Rabbeinu. And then when Miriam became mitzaras, the pasuk says, v'om loy nosa areyos of Miriam, they didn't travel until Miriam got better. But ask the Gemara, Midami, how can we compare the two situations? Hossam, when Miriam waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, she waited Chodeshata. It took just 1 hour. Hochop, but when the people waited to travel because of Miriam's illness, they waited Shiva Yomim. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, actually the way to learn the Mishnah, Ein L'inyan HaTova Einikein. When it comes to doing good, it's not the same. Good, you get paid back much more good than what you did. But Amalei Rava, so Rava asked Tobiah, how could you say that's what the Mishnah says? Doesn't the Mishnah explicitly say, V'chein l'inyan aktavik tani? And as I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara's question, it's common in Shas that a Mishnah will not be identical in its wording to the way that the Gemara will change the wording of a Mishnah. But even though the Gemara is going to change the wording of a Mishnah, it's not going to change it to such a degree. Here we find that it's changing it to a very great degree. And therefore, Elam Rava says, Rava, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. When it talks about doing good, if you act good, that's how you will be treated. However, when it comes to doing good, you will get much payback, much more for the good that you did. So we go into these psukim with the story of Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk says, "V'tesatzev achoyis merachag." Amar Yitzchak pasuk says, "Kula Hashem Shechina nemar." Even though the pasuk seems to be saying that about Miriam, it's really speaking about the Shechina. V'tesatzev. When the pasuk uses the word "v'tesatzev," it really means the Shechina. The ksiv, as we find, the pasuk says, "V'yava Hashem v'yisyatzev." Achoyisai also alludes to the Shechina. The ksiv, "Emalachachma achoyisiat." Merachayk also represents the Shechina. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Merachayk Hashem nearly. Ladas refers to the Shechina, as the Pasuk says, the Ksiv Kekel Deus Hashem. Ma also represents the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ma Hashem Shoyl, Ma Hashem Elkech Shoyamach. Yasa also refers to Hashem, the Ksiv Kloyas Hashem Elkim Dover, Kim Gyal Soyd El Avod of Hanavim. Loi, the Ksiv Yikro Loi Hashem Shalom. So the whole pasuk represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there and watching over Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk goes on to discuss what happened to Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. The pasuk says V'yokem Melachodesh. So says the Gemara Rav Shmuel. We have here a Machloikis Rav and Shmuel. What does that mean? Chana Mechodesh Mamish, that there was a new king. The Charamer, and the other one says, Shinas Chachu Gzeroysov. It was the same old king, but he made new decrees. So says the Gemara, Manda Amachadosh, Mamash, that it means that he was an entirely new king. It's understandable. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'yalkam Melachadosh. Chadosh means a new king. However, Manda Mishnas Chachu Gzeroysov, the like Ksiv, why would I say that? Why would I not explain the Pasuk with its simple explanation? Because if what happened, says the Gemara, is that the previous king died, it should have said v'yomus v'yimlach, that the previous king died and the new king came up. It doesn't say that. The like siv v'yomus v'yimlach. So it must be that it was the same old king with new rules. Ashlayadus Yosef. So the question is, how could it be Ashlayadus Yosef? If it's not the new king, how could he not have known as Yosef? Answers the Gemara, he made himself. Davidomi commanded Layodiklail. He made himself as he didn't know Yosef. And the Gra on the Sefer Elio says what happened here was that when a king, when there's a government, there are rules and laws in the government. And even when there's a new king, the new king doesn't change the existing rules. And what happened here, explains the Gra, is that the first king of Mitzrayim, when Yosef was there and when the Jews came to Mitzrayim, made good rules for his new guest. And it would be appropriate that the next king should continue those rules. What happened was that in Schachi Gerez Yosef, all those old rules that were there previously were all abolished. So many Mefarshim try to understand, why is it so important for the Gemara to know if it was a new king, actually a new king, or was just a king that made new rules? So Sefer Teres Chaim makes a nafka minah. If somebody says a nafka minah, if I sell to you, I'm selling you a new house, but I don't actually sell you a new house. I sell you a new house that was refurbished and looks like new. Have I fulfilled my condition? According to the Mandom that says that the definition of Chadosh of the Torah means Chadosh Mamish, so if the house that I sell you is not new, then I haven't fulfilled my condition. But according to the Mandom Omer, who says that Nischachik Zeroysov means also new, so if I sell you a nicely refurbished home, I fulfilled my stipulation. The Ben Yoyada, along the same line, says that the Pasuk says that Mi Ish Ashabana Ba'is Chadosh, if somebody built a new home, but he never had the opportunity to live in that home, Yelich v'Yoshev, he doesn't go out to war. So now we're going to have the same nafkamina, explains the Ben Yoyada. What will be considered a new home? If somebody built a new home, but the new home is refurbished. Will he go back or won't he go back? Some say that he will be able to go back. He will go back because Chadosh also means refurbished. And others say that Chadosh doesn't mean means only new. A refurbished home you won't go back for. Now the Sefer Yifei Torah asks the man the Amr who said that it was not a new king. It was just a new old king, and he said it because it doesn't say v'yomos, that the old king died. How will he answer this? Because he explains, actually, the first king did not die. What happened was that the first king was deposed, and that's why it doesn't say he died, but they put up a new king. The pasuk says, v'yomel amay, the king says to his people, hinei am b'nei Yisrael, tano hu hischa b'etz atchila. Paroi was the one that began with the plan against Klal Yisrael, lefikach lakut tchila, and that's why he was punished first. Who his chabeitz tchila? He began the ksiv yoyim al amoy. He says to his people, hine am bnei Yisrael rava otzim emenu. Lefikach lakach tchila. He was the first one to be punished. The ksiv ubecha. The pasuk says you ubamecha ubechal avadecha. He started with you first, and I saw that the Ibn Yaakov explains that, as we know, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that when we sit in a judgment, particularly on a dinei nefashos, the halacha is we start with the lowest person, with the most least significant person to say his opinion first. And here, it was just the opposite. Paroi was so anxious to harm the people that he that he was the first one to say, and that's why, because he changed the normal way of the way a mishpat goes, that's why he was punished. Havin schach malay. So says the Gemara, lahem ibayilei. He was trying to plan against Klai Yisrael, so he just said lahem. Amar Rav Chama, Rav Chanina. What he said was, boivin the chakim l'mashin shiyisrael. Let's go and come up with a plan against Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'man adonim. And let's come up with a plan how to punish Klai Yisrael. Nadonim b'esh. We're going to try to fight them with fire. The pasuk says, "Kina Hashem be'ish shavai." B'ksev, and there's another pasuk that says, "Be'ish Hashem nishpat." So you don't fight Hakadosh Baruch Hu with fire. B'nedaynim, ksev b'charvay as kabasar. Elabayim v'nedaynim b'mayim. So let's use water because shukvah nishpat Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu already swore, "Shena mevi mabel oilim." He won't bring another mabel to the world. Shenema, as it says after the mabel, "Kimei noyach zaisli." Reish Yosef explains that the word Nishak Maloi, Loi comes to say that he wasn't just thinking about people, he was thinking about Klai Yisrael. So of course the Mefarshim ask, was Paroi such an expert on all these psukim? So he said that of course not, but they, even though they didn't know the psukim, they were able to use their logic to come up with this approach. Another pshat that I saw is that the Sarai Shaparoi, the Malach Aparoi in Shemayim, was the one that came up with this approach. The Aracham explains that there was a question. Why? V'heinein yoidim, before we said that, let's say the Gemara, V'heinein yoidim, they weren't aware. Shakol Olam Kuloi, Eina Mevi, that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he won't bring a Mabel on the whole world. Aval Ol Ma'achas Hu Mevi, he'll bring a Mabel on one nation. E inami, ena mevi avolhein boi v'neifel b'toichai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not bring a mabel, but they'll fall into the water. The Kenoim, as we find that the pasuk indeed says, mitzayim nosen l'krosoi, they jumped into the water. What the Aracham explains is what happened over here was the Mitzrayim were trying to understand why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a shvua that he won't bring another mabel. Was it because he was concerned that the world won't should not get destroyed again? Or was it that he wanted, they made a shvur that he will not use water again to bring punishment to the world? And the nafgamina was, if it's just for the benefit of the world, so then he could bring the mabel on one country. The world won't be destroyed if one nation will be destroyed. But if his purpose was that he won't bring a mabel because he doesn't want to use water for punishment, then the Mitzrayim have nothing to worry about. And that was their mistake. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to say was, I won't destroy the world. But it wasn't that he won't use water. The pot that they used to do, to flick Klayus or Bon Spashlu. My master, the high Zodu, Lashon the Kederu. How do we know the word Zodu means a Kedera, means a pot? The Ksiv, as we find when Yaakov Avinu cooked the lentils after Avram Avinu was died and the discussion with Esav, the pasuk says, V'yazid Eisenazid. And as the Aracham explains here, a person boils up a pot of water. The reason a person boils up a pot of water is because he wants to enjoy what he's going to cook. If that pot of water, Chas V'Shalom, turns over, it will actually be just the opposite. It will burn him. That's exactly what happened here. There were three individuals part of that consultation. Bilam, the Eoi, the Yisrei. Bilam Shiyotz, Bilam who came up with the advice that Klai Yisrael should be punished. Narag. Ultimately, we know Pinchas killed him. Eiv Shesosak, Eiv that was quiet, Nidim Yisurim, was punished with Yisurim. Yisro Shabarach, Yisro who ran away, Zoch b'nei b'lanav sheyesh b'lishas gozes, his descendants were in the Sanhedrin, Shnem ha-Mishpachas, Soifrim yoish v'yayivitz, Trosim shemosim shuchosim, Hema kenim aboim imachmas avi beis rechav, v'ksiv, and when we speak about keni, it means the family of Yisro, because the Pnei says, Pnei cheni choysim moishim. So, the Barasha explains, Why does our Gemara have to discuss this episode of these three advisors? So Masha explains that because the Gemara just mentioned how Paroi tried to come up with a plan against Klal Yisrael, so the Gemara discusses how that went down. The Mefarshim ask that here it says that it was Bilam's idea, but we just learned a few moments ago that it was Paroi's idea, and the Paroi was the one that started. So the Sefer Etz Yosef explains that it was actually Paroi's idea, but since Bilam was the first one to agree, it's considered as if he did it as well. So Bilam was killed, and the Yin Yaakov says that it was Mida Keneged Nida. He wanted Klal Yisrael to be killed, and Mida Keneged Nida, he got killed. Then it says, Eiv Sheshasek, Eiv remained silent, and that's why he was needed by Yisurim. Because, as explains the Sefer Etz Yosef, if somebody has the ability to say something and he doesn't say something, then he is punished. Others I saw explain that Eiv really agreed that they should be punished. But Eiv thought to himself, it's safer if I don't say anything. And that's why his real intention was to say something and cause them to get punished. And that's why, since his real intention was that they should get punished, that's why he got punished. Yisroi, Gemara says, ran away, because Yisroi ran away. So I always thought to myself, so why does he deserve a reward for running away? So I saw that the Sefer Yin Yaakov explains that it's not just that Yisroi ran away. Yisroi actually said something positive about Klal Yisrael. And the moment he said something positive about Klal Yisrael, obviously, Paroi got very upset. And since at that moment, Paroi got very upset, Yisroi realized that the best thing he could do is run away. Another pshat that I saw is that they had a rule that they have to have a number, all the advisors agree. So what Yisroi did was he ran away. And once Yisroi ran away, he didn't have all the advisors there. Once they didn't have all the advisors, they had no choice. Everything that they tried to do fell apart. Says the Gemara, V'nilchabonim, what did Paroi say? Paroi was concerned, says the Pasuk, Pen Yirba V'yokas Grena Melchama, V'noisukam hu al sonenu, V'nilchabonim v'olam and eretz. Says the Gemara, V'linu, he should have said that they will chase us out, Mibayle. Isn't that what the Pasuk should have said? Omer of Abba Kahana, that's exactly what Paroi meant. But Paroi did not want to say anything negative about himself. What the Gemara says is, Ka'odam shemekalos atzmai, v'toylech kalos b'chaveroi. He doesn't want to say anything bad about himself. The Pasuk says, V'yisimu olof sirimisim. They put on themselves sirimisim. But that isn't true. They didn't put it on themselves. They put them on Klal Yisrael, answers the Gemara. What the Pasuk means to say, Tana de Beir Belozer Reb Shimon, Melamed Shiviu Melabein. They brought something that looked like a brick, V'tololoi L'Paroi B'Tzavori, and they hung it around the neck of Paroi, V'Kolech Echem Yisrael, Shama, and whenever they approached a Jew to participate in the work, he would say, Istasani, I'm not a laborer. Amaloi Klum Astanas Ata Yoisa V'Paroi. Look at Paroi. Paroi was prepared to put on a neck around a brick around his neck. There's a very famous vort from the Briskerov. Eiv, he asks, actually recognized that there was not much that he could do. So if Eiv recognized there was not much he could do, why was he so very punished? Says the Briskerov, the rule of the world is that if it hurts, you cry. And if Eiv heard how they wanted to treat the Jews so terribly, what he should have done is cry out. And if he didn't cry out, he is held responsible. Sarimisim, Dover Shemesim, these Sarim put the burden on Klal Yisrael. Lamana Noisai B'Sivloisam. So ask the Gemara, the Pasuk should have read, An Noisam B'Boilei. Says the Gemara, Lam Noisai L'Paroi, the B'Sivloisam D'Yisrael. They put the brick around the neck of Paroi that Klal Yisrael should ultimately start working and suffer. V'yivin arim miskunas l'Paroi, Rav Shmuel. So we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel how to understand this pasuk. Charama shmesaknes is baleim. Whoever worked in those fields were put into danger. Charama shmesaknes baleim. Dama ma kolis ubinyan mismaskin. One, sometimes somebody falls down, and the other one is that mesaknes makes the people who work in those buildings become poor. I saw that the Mishnah in the beginning of Masech the Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis says, "Kaboyna kama yivna." If you build something, kama bizna v'yechayiv. When somebody takes on a building project, usually the result of that building project is that you're going to end up poor. I saw the Yoitz explains that usually, as much as you plan, it's going to cost. It's going to end up costing more. Sometimes it affects the shalom bayis of the people who are involved in the project. And that's why the Gemara says the person who's involved in a building project, mismaskein, becomes poor. Says the Gemara, as Pisa Mesram says, Rav Shmuel. So here too, we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Charama Pisa Shmoy, that the place that they built was called Pisa, Velamen Nikra. Ramses, Ramses, why is it also called Ramses? Rishon Rishis Misroises, that after they built the building, it would immediately fall down. The Charama Ramses Shmoy, that the name of the city was really Ramses, Velamanikra Shmoy Pisam, Sharishon Rishon Pitaim Baloi, it would be built. And I saw that the Mashal explains, why did this actually happen? So Mashal explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this gzeirah, the Klai Yisrael should be Mitzrayim, 400 years. If everything they built would have been standing and sturdy right away, then they would have finished the projects. But they were supposed to be there for 400 years. The Maral says that what the lesson of this Gemara is, that even though we were suffering, the Mitzrim should not have anything of use from what they did to us. Says the Gemara, Kashayanu Isoi, Ken Yerba V'Ken Yerfrutz. So says the Gemara, came rabu v'came parts of it, by the way. Shouldn't that be the wording in the pasuk? Amrei shlokish, ruach hakodesh mevasrosen. The ruach hakodesh tells Klai Yisrael, you have nothing to worry about. Ken yibra v'kiyotze. Ken yibra v'ken yifritz. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'yikutsu v'mnei Yisrael. Melamed, shayodayim be'eneim kakoytzim. Klai Yisrael were in their eyes like, Klai Yisrael were in the eyes of the Mitzrim like thorns. So Maral explains that why indeed did Klai Yisrael so multiply in Mitzrayim? It says because in Mitzrayim, because their Gashmius was so oppressed, they became people of greater Ruchnius. And once they became people of greater Ruchnius, they were able to grow. And the growth in Ruchnius spurned the growth in Gashmius. Another pshat that I saw is that the Kol Yaakov suggests that everything that was happening here was because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu would happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Avram Avinu, that I'm going to make you into a great nation. So the way to make us into a great nation, is not only a great nation, but a large nation. So that's why we multiply. The Kutsu Bnei Yisrael, B'nei Shemen Kekoitzim. The Vidus Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim Beforach. Rabbi Lez Omer, we have a Machloikus. What is the definition of Beforach? Chad Omer, what Rabbi Lez said, Beforach. First, they tried to entice them to work by saying nice words to them, by making it attractive. The Chad Omer Beforicha, that they immediately began working hard work. The Rashi in the Chumash on the word Beperach says, "Bavoid the kasha hamafareches gufa mishabrosai," that breaks the person. So the question is, why is Rashi not agreeing to the other pshat that Al Gemara is suggesting, that perach may mean that they try to talk to them nicely? So I saw the Sefer Levlevi Omer explains, sometimes you could tell a person to work hard. And it's even though it's going to be hard work, it's worth it to work hard because at the end you're going to become very wealthy. So therefore, he explains that the two pshatim here really don't contradict each other. They worked pefricha, they worked hard, but they got them to work with perach because because they told them it will be very, it will be successful and worthwhile to work hard. First, they gave them all the materials. First, they worked in building, and afterwards, they made them work in the field. And I saw the Mefarshim explain. First, they enticed them to work in jobs that will be very successful, very worthwhile, and then they gave them very low-level jobs. As kol avdel hem befarach, amr shmo ben nachmeni amr b'yonison, what happened here was, shemachlifim melechus anoshim lanoshim, they made men do the job of women, or melechus noshim lanoshim, and vice versa. L'mandam anami hosma perach, hochavad befricha. Says the Gemara, even according to the man, the Omer, that previously said Beperach meant that it wasn't hard work, at this point, it was hard work. I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara says often in Shas, Shinu Veset, a person having to change their lifestyle is what is Koshel B'nai Ma'ayim, makes people sick. And that's what they were trying to do to the men. I saw a fact that the Mefarshim explained that in Middle Eastern countries, what used to be is that the women carried packages on their head and men carried packages on the back. And here they made them reverse this. Darsha Ravira, B'schad Nashim Shitzkan Shari B'Sadar, because there were such great women in that generation, Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Klai Yisrael were able to leave Mitzrayim. Because says the Gemara, B'shosh Alk Slush of Mayim, as the women would go to draw water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezam Lam Dogim Kadana B'Gedeim, he would prepare for them small fish, V'shoy Ben Mechza Mayim Mechza Dogim, and in the pitcher, in the pail, it was half water and half fish. Or boys with soy fish they kaderis, and then the women would put up two pots, Achas Shal Chamim, one of hot water, V'achas Shal Dogim, one of the fish. Or Melichan Eitzabaleim L'Soda, they would bring those pails to their husbands out in the field, and they would wash them. They were hurt for working so hard. They would wash them with the hot water, and then they would smear them, and they would give them the fish, and they would give them to drink. Then they would have relations out there in the field. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, im tashkvim ben shvasayim, because they acted this way, that's how Klai Yisrael were able to get all of the fortune that they took out of Mitzrayim. So I saw that the Mitzrayim would not let the men go home, because they said, if you'll go home, then it'll take you longer to get to work in the morning. And that's why they took them. I saw, what does the Gemara mean that they got this special reward? Because even though they were anxious to have relations, they still were very careful to do it in a modest fashion. And they didn't just do it publicly. They did it in a modest fashion, even under the difficult circumstances that they were. The Kimishim Sabris, continues the Gemara, once these women got pregnant, Boaz Lebatayim, they came home. It came the time they were supposed to give birth. They would go out under the apple tree and have babies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send malachim to clean and take care of the babies. Just like the midwife takes care of the baby who's born. Shnema molarateich b'yoyim haledes oisach lekara sarich v'mayim lerechatz lemishi malakalem shnei agulim. They would prepare them two round stones, achal shashemen, one of oil, v'achal shadvash, and one of honey. Shnema v'yinikeyu dvash v'sel of shemen mechalmish tzor. All to take care of Klal Yisrael. So the Ein Yaakov says that, why did this, how did this happen? That then not everybody had babies. The Yaakov says only in time when Klal Yisrael was suffering, not everybody's allowed to have relations. It was only the people who didn't have relations. Why did they go out to the field to have the babies, explain the Mashah? Because they knew it was dangerous to have the babies at home, so that's why they went out to the field. Another shot is that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos compares Torah to the tapuach. And what they were saying was, our entire purpose of having children is just that our children should learn Torah. The Kivin Shemakir Men Mitzrim, once the Mitzrim recognized them, Bayim Lahargum, they would come to kill these children. And a wonderful miracle would occur. From the Veloim Bekaka, they would get swallowed up into the ground. And the Mitzrim would try to get them. So what the Mitzrim would do is they would bring oxen and plow on top of these children. Shnemar, as the Pasuk actually says, Al Gabe Chorshi Chorshim, that they would plow on top of them. Vacha Shalcha Mitzrim, but after the Mitzrim would go away, these children would come out from under the ground, just like grass. Once they grew up, they would come herds, large groups of these children home. Large groups of these children. And when all of Klal Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Kriyas Yamsuf, they were the first ones to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnemar, as the Pasuk indeed says, Zeh Keli Venveyu. So the Mashah asks, how could the Mitzrim have tried to kill these Jewish children? Once they saw this incredible nace, that they were taken underground, shouldn't they have realized who they are? So Mashah says that we remember that Mitzrayim was a country of kishif, of sorcery, and they didn't think that this was such a big nace that children should be underground. Rav Shmuel have a machlokes who these two women were, because the pasuk says Asher Shema Achas Shifra V'Shema Sheinis Pua. Rav Shmuel Chad Amar Isha Bita was a mother and a daughter, the Charamer, Kalav Chamosa, and the other one says a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Mandam Isha Bita, it was Yechevra Miriam. Mandam Kalav Chamosa holds that it was Yechevra Velisheva. So he said, so the Sefer Lashon Lamudim says, how do we know that we were related? Because the Pasuk says, Shema Achas. The Pasuk says the name of one, the Shema Shenis. The Pasuk should have said, Shema Achas v'Shema Achas, that each one were a distinct woman. Why is it called Shema Achas v'Shema Shenis? Because it must be that there's some sort of relation between these two women. The Tanakh Kamandami Ishubita says the Gemara, the Braisa supports that it was a mother and a daughter, Yecheved and Miriam. The Tanya Shifra, the Braisa says Shifra was Yecheved. She would take the child and make him work with him. Klal Yisrael multiplied in her time. Pua is Miriam. She would work with the child as the child would be born. She expressed with Ruach HaKodesh, and she said, so what she said was, I see the Imi Shetel Ben Shemashis Yisrael, my mother will have the child that will be the savior of Klal Yisrael, which of course we know was Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yoyim ha-b'yalatchem ha-savriyos, Paro gave them a directive, and he said, V'yoyim ha-b'yalatchem ha-savriyos, look arisim al-avnayim, in Benhu, if he's a boy, v'amitim ha-yisoy, v'mbasi v'choya, my avnayim, amar ha-b'chan, simon godl mosulhem. He gave them a simon. Amala and Bishasha Karas Layla, when a woman is about to have the baby, Yachasem Mitzaneh Kavonim, her thighs get cold like stone. This Amar, Kedixiva Ered Abesa Yoitzavina Isamaloch Alavnayim, that's where they work. Manda Amar Maloch Alavnayim, Ma Yoitz Yerch Mikav Yerch Mikan, he has 2 feet on the 2 sides. The Sadden Beemtza and the work table is in the middle. Af Ish Yerch Mekan Yerch Mekan Vavlad Beemtza. In Benu Vamitin Isai Amar Av Chanina Simon Godel Moslem. He gave them a sign. Pa'en pun of Lamata, a boy is born face down, and a bas is born penelamela face up. Why did he give them the simon? Because he wanted them to kill the babies before they were born. And because he wanted them to have the babies before the baby was born, that's why he did it in that fashion. Says the Gemara, V'terenu miyaldus asalkim, V'lasuk shedibar aleim melech Mitzrayim, lehem miboy alei. The pasuk said, V'lasuk shedibar aleim, it should have said, V'lasuk shedibar lehen, Amar Rav Yosef b'chanina, melamed, that Paroi had another plan. Shetavim v'var v'era, v'loin nisbu. Why did Paroi want to have relations with them? Because what Paroi wanted to do was get them to be balei avera, and they shouldn't have any schusim. V'techianis ha'yeladim, Tanaloi dain shleim misoi son. Not only did they not kill the Jewish children, Elo shayim aspikus lemayim, they gave them mayim and zozim, they supported these children. The tayam emayal saparoi, kiloi kenoshim emitzrim, my chayis, ki chayis heina, my chayis, inlema, chayis mamish, it can mean that they're considered like animals. Atachayim loitzi chayir lachuda, if it means a midwife, doesn't a midwife need also a midwife to help her have the child? Elamrelu, amazuk chayinim shlo. Klayisos compared to an animal. As the pasuk says, Yehuda gur aryeh, don yidei nachish, naftalei yolah shlucha, yisocha chamor garim, yoyse b'chor shor, b'yom zev yitrev. Diksibei, any shavit that's explicitly compared to a chaya is completely explained. The like sibay ksib ma'im chalavi beis arayis aratzu. We are compared to a nation that is born from a lion. So what was he trying to say? So I saw the Mashal explains that they were saying to Paroi that Jewish women have their babies very quickly like animals, and that's why before we get there, the babies are born. V'hi kiyar melazes al kiv yaslan batim. Rav Shmuel chanam abati kuna leviya. The Chan Omer Bati Malchus. Mandam Bati Kunavliya, the Aaron Umoisha. Aaron was the Kayan, Moshe was the Levi. Mandam Bati Malchus, David came from Miriam. Gabin Nami and Miriam Kossi, the Xiva Thomas Azuva, the Ikach like Kalaf as Ephras, the Taylor as Chor, the Xiva David Ben Isha Frosi. The Kalba Chetzer and Hoylas Azuva, Ishiv as Urias, Vail Bana, Yosher, Rishavi, the Arden, the Chetzer and Ben Yifu, asked the Gemara, was Kalev the son of Chetzroim? Wasn't he the son of Yefuna? Says the Gemara, Kivin Shapana Matzis Miraglim. Since he didn't pay attention to what they said, that's why it's called Yefuna. Vakate ben Knasu, the Ksiv Yekadah Sneba Knas, Achi Kalev, Amarava. Kalev was the son of Chetzroim. And when the Pasig says that he was a brother of Asniel, that did not have the same father. Chargoy, the Knas Hava. He was the stepson of Knas. Daik Nami Diksiv. The pasuk says V'yomer Elov Kala Ben Yefuna Aknizi. He doesn't call him Ben Knas. He calls him Aknizi. Shemamina that Kalev was not the son of Knas, but rather he was actually the son of Chetzroim. There's a discussion that the Paiskim have if you could use someone's stepfather's name when they are called. The question comes up, the Shas Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak discusses a girl who was adopted, and she wasn't known, that she didn't know that she's adopted. So of course he says that the proper halacha is to make the person aware who their real parents are to avoid, chas v'shalom, a brother marrying a sister. But the Michas Yitzchak says, if it's extenuating circumstances, that if this girl will find out that she's adopted, it can have very negative effect. Maybe it's not necessary to inform her. And Al Gemari says as a raya that we see he was called Haknezi. So in the Ksuba, it shouldn't say exactly that she's a daughter. It should be said not in a direct fashion, but it doesn't have to have the name of a real father.